This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Look, what you do with your own time and whatever your beauty routines are, God bless you. God bless you. It does strike me with you recently, though, that there has been more talk of maintenance, as you will, for someone that is in front of the public on ESPN Bet every day during the week. Tonight is 6 p.m. show, is that correct?
5:30 tonight. I think we're going to try to put a string of about 100 shows together where none of them are at the same time. And you get to guess when you can find us. 5:30 to 6:30 tonight
on
ESPN 2.
But it'll be on. Yeah, and that's what's important.
And then tomorrow, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern. And then Saturday, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern.
1 to 2. How's that going to work?
Well, you might have someone named Hugh Myers in here today, tomorrow.
What did you say? One to two.
1 to 2 tomorrow. Yeah, Eastern time.
Curious time. How did that happen?
Well, the executives had to make a decision as to where Joe Fortenbaugh's skill set would be better served.
Well, no, not.
I think they see you guys as running such a buttoned up operation here. I'm not necessarily needed tomorrow.
Well, number one, I'm pretty sure that's not how the decision got made. Secondly, why 1 to 2 on a Friday? What else is on?
We have women's college hoops tomorrow.
Tomorrow afternoon?
Yeah. So, but basically, you know, you have live sporting events, which I don't know why they take precedence over us, but somehow they, I'm kidding. Obviously they take precedence over us, but we will ping pong around based on a lot of different things. So I would believe, I haven't checked, but I would imagine it's women's college basketball tomorrow.
Well, here you
today
go.
Today it might be as well.
It is Oregon State and Notre Dame tomorrow at 2:30 on ESPN.
There you go. And then ESPN's probably moving SportsCenter over to ESPN too. Who knows? Whatever it is, there's a lot. There's a lot to keep track of. I'm a good company soldier. You tell me where to be, I'll show up.
And listen, I'm fine with all of that, and here's what I know.
Doesn't sound like it.
No. I didn't know what the reason was. That's all. I have already made my personal acceptance of where I stand in your professional life. Okay? So that's fine.
Now, hold on.
Yeah,
I make it very clear to take the worst flights known to man in order to do as much of this show as I possibly can. I have landed in Vegas at 1:30 in the morning and not gotten to sleep till 3 and then woken up at 4:30 and 90 minutes of sleep so I could do this show. And I am always given the option. Joe, you can just leave whenever you want. Travel does count as a work day, and I always say no. I always say I'm doing radio. I do TV if I could, but no flights leave after 7 p.m., that'll get me anywhere I need to go.
Evan, refresh my memory. When Joe did the show in Vegas, a couple months ago, why did he go to Vegas? So was that a company assignment? Or didn't that have something to
Careful
do with...
Careful now, big boy. You better get all your information straight because you think you know one thing, and I don't think you really do.
Well, you were collecting on a wager.
That was one of the things I was doing there.
What else were you doing?
This show, as well as TV shows and building relationships with our friends at the M Resort.
Ah.
Certainly wasn't a vacation day.
So it was building relationships. Had to sneak that one in there.
Building relationships. So, appearing on air.
Appearing on air, yes. But was it required of you to be in Vegas to do that?
No, of course not.
See,
it's very nice to be there.
That's the point. That's all I'm saying. We are, if we're going to go up the ladder, we're somewhere in the middle on the Joe Fortenbaugh ladder. And I'm very comfortable with you stepping on me to do whatever you have to do. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. 1 to 2 tomorrow. It'll be ESPN Bet on ESPN 2. And here's where all this started. I was trying to give you a plug for the show.
Oh, is that what this was you doing me a favor? Oh,
it really was, just in more of a kind of offshot way.
How rude of me.
And then you go into, well, we don't know when the show's on. It's on all over the place.
Show moves around quite a bit. We are a very fluid show. As Bruce Lee would say, be water. And that's what we are as a show. We are water.
Exactly. ESPN Bet Live, we are water. And in fact, you do get a ton of information out of it every day. So you should be right on the flow with them and paying attention to where it's going to be. And listen, bottom line is you get great content. That's what Joe Fortenbaugh's about.
All right, you done vomiting all over yourself here? It's like you're trying to extract yourself from this.
I'm trying. I'm trying. We're having a little bit of trouble doing it.
Get to the chopper!
Exactly.
There it is.
Listen, when it comes to the draft, we spend a lot of time discussing quarterbacks, and understandably so. But a lot of our discussion has been around the Patriots. It's been around the Commanders. It's been around the Chicago Bears. The Giants, we know, sitting at six, are in need of a quarterback, whether or not they're ever going to admit it publicly or not. We know that Daniel Jones is not the answer. So, the Giants contingent, we've got Joe Shane, Brian Daboll, all watching Michael Penix Jr. today at his pro day up in Washington. They've also got a group at Drake May's pro day, and according to the Daily News, J.J. McCarthy has a private workout with the Giants booked for Easter Sunday this week. The contingent could not make it to McCarthy's pro day. How far are we right now from just declaring that the Giants are going to do everything they can to at least get to four to make a pick of a quarterback?
Interesting. Interesting way to say that. I would have to imagine they've had several conversations with New England at three, and they've probably broached the subject with Washington at two, as the Commanders have led on that they're open to a trade, but I really think they're going to be picking a quarterback with that selection. What you want to be concerned about as a Giants fan right now is the idea that New York could be set to make a very emotional decision. You want to take emotion out of these equations. Emotion's good for a decision when it comes to who you're going to marry, right? You should use emotion to help you make that decision. But when it comes to drafting quarterbacks, signing free agents, hiring, firing coaches, those are big decisions. You want to leave emotion out of it. Logic, reason, rationale. And based on the way the things have gone for the Giants the last 2 years, it feels like this could be a hot seat year for the coach. It feels like the owner understands that there are some issues there. Maybe the organization isn't fully aligned top to bottom, and they could be set to make a very emotional decision to try to save their jobs, right? And That's what would worry me right now. Do I sound like I'm off base with that concern that I speak on behalf of all of Big Blue Nation?
No, not at all. Absolutely not. Does picking a quarterback save their jobs definitively?
Well, it should buy you time, especially if you get a guy who can come in and make some plays. You're paying Daniel Jones one way or another. So you have a situation where you can say, look, 2 years ago, we over exceeded expectation. Then we fell back down to earth last year. It didn't look good. Here's what we're going to do. Here's the plan. We really love insert quarterback A here, and we also love insert quarterback B here. We're going to get that quarterback, but because we're paying Daniel Jones, we're going to take advantage of the situation. Jones is going to start the year. He's going to be a bulletproof shield. One of two things is going to happen. He plays well and he wins games. Great. He'll be great trade bait, or when he moves on, whatever. We'll figure it out. Or he plays poorly, but he at least eats up some time as your new rookie learns the inner workings of how to be a New York Giant, how to be a quarterback in the NFL. And then eventually you look to the bye week or wherever a good soft landing spot occurs and you make the transition. You have an opportunity here to reboot this thing, but you got to do it the right way. You can't make an emotional panic decision. The Bears did that with Justin Fields a few years ago. Okay, you don't want to be the team reaching for some quarterback who's not going to be able to deliver what you need him to deliver.
I really am fascinated by how they have gone about this the last couple of years, and disappointed. And I know you can't live in the past on this thing, but just how easily avoidable all of this was for them to even be in this situation in the first place. You know, it was so easy to see at the time to not get sucked into what happened 2 years ago, to how good they were. And like for Joe Shane, that should have been one of the easiest things to see right away and to understand that we are not as good as we look. And it's not rip this whole thing apart, but make the fans understand we have to be about sustainability. And now they find themselves here. But I digress, because it is in the past, and it's not. There's nothing they can do about it at this point.
Let me throw one note in there, though. Ego. Ego can be a big-time killer.
That's fair.
And when they had all that success, not just the wins and losses, but taking Daniel Jones and showing everyone, hey, this kid, he wasn't playing well because of the previous regime. We're great coaches. We're a great organization. Look at what we got out of him. No one within that organization was saying, look, we got lucky here. They all are of the belief that they're so good at what they do because they got the job to begin with, and then they won a bunch of games, went to the playoff, won a game, and had the best year of Daniel Jones' career. They were of the opinion that they were that great, and Jones was now great because of them. That's where ego got in the way. They disregarded the previous years, and they thought that one year was going to be Daniel Jones long term. It's not. That was the problem.
They can't do this unless they're convinced this guy is their long-term answer. And if they think it's J.J. McCarthy, they're mistaken. Like, if you're going to do this, if you're going to move up two spots to go get J.J. McCarthy, honestly, you're going to be looking for a new coach and a new GM next year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and you could try to sell me all you want on making those decisions. That's a decision to try to keep your job. That's a decision of, well, we finally got our guy, and you got to give us some time in it. Now, that's not making J.J. McCarthy the Giants quarterback is not the best decision for the long term of that organization.
I mean, it didn't work for the Bears, former GM and head coach. They traded up, drafted Fields, thought it would buy him time. They both got axed. The McCarthy thing is just, we're not going to get into it now, but it's just such a fascinating dynamic. All this steam around J.J. McCarthy these last 2 months when no games have been played. Either it is the ultimate banana in the tailpipe, or we truly are a bunch of idiots who just didn't realize it during the season.
You know what a couple people think who I've talked to? The Harbaugh bump.
The Harbaugh bump.
Thought Harbaugh is pumping him up so much. You know?
I mean, he's selling the hell out of it. He did not need to sell Andrew Luck like this.
They did not. Carla versus Joe, ESPN Radio. It's baseball opening day, but we've already got NFL win total over unders. So, the Eagles taking a step back? Is that a good bet or a bad bet? We'll find out next. Carla versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80.
This is the Carla versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We've got the odds.
Want a bet? Oh, great.
Is it a good bet?
I like those odds.
Or is it a bad bet?
Take my money, take it off.
Before we get started, the NFL over-unders in win totals for the season. It's an exciting, exciting day. It's Carlin versus
Joe. Have to interrupt. I need your thoughts on something very quickly.
Oh, go.
Very quickly. New at Diamondbacks games this season, the apple pie chimichanga. Crispy tortilla loaded with apple pie filling and topped with vanilla frozen yogurt, caramel sauce, whipped cream, Cracker Jack, and strawberries. Go.
Number one, it's cute that they went vanilla frozen yogurt as if that's going to help dietarily through all that mess.
Great point.
Number two, three words. Count me in.
Boom. It looks good. Evan, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's a little good bet, bad bet. Evan will host it, and we will make our wagers appropriately based on some win totals here with these NFL teams. Dear God, just take the microphone away from me. Go.
He's thinking about the apple pie chimichanga.
Exactly. Don't throw me off.
These are
chimichanga me. Go ahead.
Is this my segment or not?
Yes. Sorry.
These are via ESPN Bet. These are released
Let's start with this team.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Under 10.5 wins. Is that a good bet or a bad bet? Under 10.5, Carlin?
For the Philadelphia Eagles, under 10.5, sadly, is a good bet. I would absolutely play that. And I just have very little faith in Nick Sirianni. I have very little faith in where things are headed right now. I understand they're pumped up about Saquon. I don't think that this is headed anywhere good unless Jalen Hurts straightens himself out. And don't forget about the leadership factor with Jason Kelce gone.
Under or pass, there's not a whole lot to add to what my astute colleague brought up. I mean, 2 years ago when they won a bunch of games, we started viewing them as this real big power in the NFC. Thing is, they played nobody that year, and they were very, very healthy. Last year, when they faced some true adversity, they got popped in the mouth, and they pretty much went running for the hills. They showed no resilience down the stretch at all, and they quit in a playoff game. Who the hell quits in a playoff game? Like, I can't get behind it. I don't trust the coach. 11 wins is a lot of wins in the NFL, so under or pass for me, Evan.
The Green Bay Packers.
Over 9.5 wins, Joe.
I want to say over. The problem is some of these teams are going to be propped up based on really good seasons. And all of a sudden, we're going to get, like, this is going to be the team everyone wants to jump on next year. Dark horse to win the NFC, the Green Bay Packers. Maybe they are. I would not play the over just yet. I think they're not going to sneak up on anybody next year. Still a young team. They're going to play a tougher schedule. Division's getting tougher. Bears are on the rise. Detroit's not going anywhere. So that's a pass for me. I would not make that bet.
You know, they debuted this chimichanga at the World Series last year in Arizona. I didn't go to the road games. I mean, it's a killer.
Yeah.
Could have had it then. Anyway.
It looks good. It looks really good. Like, I'm really hungry for it right now. I love dessert.
Sorry. Who were we talking about?
This is the
the Green Bay Packers.
Thank you. I would go Packers over. I'm all over Jordan Love. I'm a huge fan. I love what the Packers have done with their young receivers. I think they're going to be much, much better. I don't love the Josh Jacobs move, personally. I would have stuck Aaron Jones, but that's just me. I still think the Packers are a 10-win team. Next!
The Atlanta Falcons.
Over 9.5. Carlin?
Yeah, also on board here, too. Now, let's not get it twisted. No matter what you think, this is still not a great division, okay? So, I think the Falcons, having improved the way they have and having brought in Kirk Cousins, with the weapons that they have, there's no reason to think that they aren't going to win 10 games. But it's not so much yet about the Falcons' greatness as it is about the rest of the division. You know, are the Bucs going to take a step back? Potentially. Yeah, I still don't believe in the Saints at all. I would say it's an over.
I lean over here. This is another one of those teams that's going to be propped up, so you got to be careful, but you're going to have competent quarterback play, which is what you were missing last year, and I still think you found a way to, what was it, 7 wins, 8 wins for the Falcons last year? They've got a good defense. People don't realize that. They've got skill position players that can make plays. People do realize that. There's a lot to like here, and Raheem Morris coming in is an upgrade at coach. So I would bet the over here, but I'd exercise caution. It looks so obvious because of the Kirk Cousins acquisition. Trust me, they're not going to sneak up on anybody. Everyone's aware that Atlanta's going to be good. Lean to the over, small wager on the over.
The Baltimore Ravens.
Under 11.5 wins for the Ravens, Joe.
You bet on the Ravens in the regular season. You bet against the Ravens in the playoffs. So I would not bet under 11.5 wins for Baltimore. They are built to run through the regular season. Going 12-5 isn't going to surprise anybody. What's going to surprise people is if they actually win against good teams in the playoffs. This is not a playoff bet. You do not bet against Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh in the regular season. You bet against them in the playoffs. This is not a good bet.
Agreed, and I would go over, and I also believe that Zay Flowers is going to be a true number one receiver moving forward. I would basically just hop right on top and put a checker on a checker on most of what you said. You know, they've also got loaded pub fries now that they're starting to sell out in Arizona, Joe.
Arizona becoming the... It's very clear Eric and Handman do not want us derailing on the food segments. By the way, MLB ballparks, go ahead and send these meals to the big man. He'll test them out and rate them for you.
Hey, Kilt Lifter brought beer, cheese, bacon, sour cream, green onion, all on fries. Big fella, go head first into that.
We can't have this conversation. Now I'm starving. This show takes place during lunch.
Sorry.
Dallas Cowboys.
I don't care. Let's go back to the food.
Evan, what's the number?
Under... 10.5.
Under! No, I mean, listen,
McCarthy's
they've won 12 games
3 years in a row. What
exactly.
Are you doing?
Exactly. I can't go an automatic under there. Why would I? I would expect much of the same in terms of what their history has been over the last few years. I do believe they've gotten weaker this offseason. I'll be curious to see what they do in the draft. But, yeah, I would still think that they're capable of winning 11 games.
Cowboys and the Eagles both come down to the same thing for me. What does the schedule look like for the opening 4 to 6 weeks? If it's a softer schedule, a more favorable schedule, I'd be more inclined to bet you're over because you can build that confidence early. You can support your coach. You can put a season together. Both teams strike me as teams that if they have an opening schedule of 4 to 6 weeks that's really rough and they lose games early, all the talk is going to heat up about the coach, the hot seat, the quarterbacks, all that stuff, and you could see them imploding. So the start of the season, the opening month schedule, is going to be the key to both these bets. For Dallas right now, I'd lean under, but I wouldn't do anything with it at the moment.
You guys want one more?
Yeah.
Sure.
The New England Patriots.
Over 4.5 wins. Do they have 5 wins in them under Gerard Mayo? Joe?
I'd bet over. You're asking for under, so I'd say bad bet. Did you ask for over?
Over.
As a
over.
Good,
yeah. Over 4.5.
I would be inclined to bet that. I think Mayo's going to be buttoned up. I think they got enough pieces there where you probably find yourself backdooring 2 wins, so it's a matter of finding a way to just outright beat a few other teams on the schedule. You're going to have a last-place schedule. I think that's a good bet. I'd go over on the Patriots.
Yeah, I would too. You still have the Jets on the schedule, so you're going to win at least one of those two. Because it's the Jets and it's the Patriots. But more than anything else, I think we can't lose sight that the Patriots still have a pretty good defense. So don't forget that. And that's going to win them some games, even if they're playing with a rookie quarterback. It's Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio. When you are trying to find quality candidates, all the searching, screening, and interviewing, that can become a job itself. You need Indeed, the all-in-one platform that makes it easy to interview, screen, and hire quality people. Visit Indeed.com/credit. It's baseball opening day. But how much is one massive story clouding everything? It's next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, and on the ESPN app.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
The Texas Rangers, for the first time ever, are World Series champs.
I'm not going to say I don't care how they pitch. I just think they're going to out-hit whatever they do. And that's why I got the Rangers winning the American League West, despite Seattle being really good, despite Houston being really good. This offense is going to be devastating.
I love the way the Cubs play and the fact that Craig Counsell is going to come in. Not that David Ross did anything wrong, but Craig Counsell is a really, really good manager.
It's opening day today. It is Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. Tune in tonight the reigning champion Rangers host the Cubs. Coverage begins 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Oh, my God, is it 1978?
It makes you feel good, though, right?
I guess it does.
No.
What makes me feel good is that Jeff Passan is here, and I knew he would agree with me on that. It's so old.
It is just such very an old.
It really is.
Boy, let's get excited for baseball by sounding like we're in black and white.
We can all wear suits and ties and hats to the game.
Actually, you know what? I do that, so I'm not one to talk there.
Well, but you're getting
paid to do that. He's in a suit and tie right now.
I am in a suit and tie now.
Yeah, but you're also getting paid to do that. You're not True. Going as a fan.
What? Let me ask you this. We're going to get into a bunch of questions here. Major League 2, are you for or against that? A lot of people rail against the sequel. Where do you stand on it?
I'm against trying to chase perfection.
And that's how you feel about the original.
I'm from Cleveland, so that movie spoke to me more than any movie in my childhood. It had everything. Think about a kid who was born in 1980. It was the perfect time to be born for Major League because Major League was like this forbidden fruit. It had bad words. It had nudity.
Yeah.
It had ball. It had like everything that would just titillate the mind of a 9-year-old growing up in Cleveland, and it had the Indians winning the World Series. So I feel like going after that, like there were some parts of two that were fine. I'm okay with two existing. It just feels like when you create something so perfect, just let it breathe and let its perfection permeate the sporting movie landscape.
It's very well said.
Okay, now, just a couple of things. First of all, plot line, they did not win the World Series. They lost to the White Sox that we never did see in the championship series. The Yankee game was merely a play-in.
It felt like they won the World Series is my point.
Secondly, and I normally agree, I don't like chasing perfection either, but Jack Parkman.
No, we couldn't tell.
Jack Parkman, though? You got to tell me,
Welcome
Jack
to the
Parkman.
Show.
What about Jack Parkman?
The rest of them are losers, either by choice or by birth.
Jack Parkman was a solid character and a great villain for Major League 2. No?
Okay.
Wow.
Parkman smoking the cigarette was it.
In a black
really
leather jacket, getting into a Porsche, yeah. Calling everybody losers? Come on.
I didn't like seeing Rick Vaughn go corporate.
Yeah, that was true. He's got the therapist. He's got the haircut. That is the big twist.
All right, that's fair. I didn't think we were getting here, but here we are. I love the despondence of Jeff Passan, who is joining us, ESPN senior MLB insider.
Now sufficiently lubricated for the interview, we can ask any question we like.
Exactly. We have to start here. What's your reaction to the whole Ohtani situation?
I'm still just waiting for the facts and all the facts to come out. We know what Shohei Ohtani's version of the story is. The incentive is not necessarily there for him to lie, particularly if this is a federal investigation into something that is much bigger than him. But I also want to hear what Ibe Mitsuhara has to say. I want to see if the evidence backs up the idea that this was a quote-unquote massive theft. And I would love to hear, whether it's from the authorities that are looking into this or from Ohtani's camp, who've suggested that they've taken that information to authorities, who is looking into this and what the timeline on that is going to be. Because if Ohtani's telling this story, and listen, it looks like that version of the story suggests he was the victim of something here. If he's telling that story, I would like to see it validated by authorities, and we just haven't gotten that at all, any inkling of that from either Ohtani's camp or police at this point.
We know that the NFL has the commissioner's exempt list when they're dealing with certain situations that are a little bit different than what we're used to dealing with, PED infractions, things like that. Does it Major League Baseball have anything they could be turning to here should this get a little bit more, crazier than we've already seen?
Yeah, so there is the restricted list, but that tends to exist for people who have committed crimes. There is administrative leave, which Wander Franco was placed on today, but that tends to be for players who are involved with something, whether it is sexual assault or domestic abuse or child abuse. with Ohtani right now, unless Major League Baseball finds evidence to the contrary of what he is saying, I don't think there's any reason to keep him out of games at this point. When there are people out there who are saying suspend him or do that, for what? There is zero evidence right now, zero evidence that you would bring into a court of law or even into an arbitration case for Major League Baseball to suggest that Ohtani has done anything wrong. Now, they're in the fact gathering at this point, and that evidence may eventually, potentially show up. But as of now, there's no reason. He hasn't done anything that is demonstrably provable at this point. And if you don't have that, then what leg do you have to stand on if you're Major League Baseball to impose discipline? The Players Association is going to back Ohtani up, and any kind of discipline that would be implemented would be overturned in 3 seconds. So that right now, unless Ohtani wants to step away, unless he feels like he can perform, and I don't anticipate that's going to be the case. I think, in fact, if we look at him throughout his career, all he's done is put on blinders and push the noise away. He has 50 people from Japan, 50 reporters trailing him every single day, looking at him for any tiny little fleck of information that they can send back to a country that is, looking at him like he is their greatest hero. You think he hasn't been through this before? You think he's not ready for prime time here? I mean, if any baseball player was ready to handle what's going on right now, it's Shohei Ohtani.
To be clear, Jeff Passan's suggesting society could be rushing to judgment here.
Isn't that what we do?
Not on this radio program.
No, I was about to say that's actually what we're based on.
We're still sorting through Balco.
Jeff, can you sit tight with us for a minute? We got a lot of actual baseball to discuss.
Yeah, we'd like to ask you some baseball questions.
I look forward to it.
Jeff Passan, ESPN senior and
which MLB one is it?
Insider.
Is it NFL, NBA,
I don't know.
Or MLB?
I don't know.
Woj,
just having, I
Woj,
have to
Schefter
say,
and Ball all in one. I love it.
You have no idea how bummed out I am that I am not sitting next to you in Bristol right now, because it's amazing to see you there in person, and it's completely thrown me off all the way around. More of this next on ESPN Radio.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Carlin versus Joe. Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
All right, we got Jeff Passan in studio, so we'll make this one quick. Final game, if you've been paying attention, Illinois on the money line tonight, Clemson +7 tonight, UNC -4.5 tonight. Only game left is Connecticut and San Diego State, under 136 points. Two elite defenses, two teams that rank outside the top 60 in tempo. Two words, rock, fight, under 136, UConn and San Diego State.
Jeff Passan, ESPN senior MLB insider with us. It's Carlin versus
my gosh.
Joe.
I've been laughing my ass off in here.
If only the break was the radio. I'm sorry to say that.
We just
I hate
did
to
all
say
the
that
best
to the audience.
Stuff.
Oh, so funny.
Take it up with corporate. We should be allowed to talk about these things on air.
I know.
I mean,
Jeff,
we could.
Instead,
we could.
We'd be our last day, but that's fine. Jeff, let's actually talk about some baseball. Why not? Ohtani aside, with all the money the Dodgers spent, Yamamoto, Tyler Glasnow, why is this going to be any different for the Dodgers in October?
I don't know that it is.
Why do they feel it is?
I think they feel like they have the horses now starting pitching-wise, but they've also had Julio Urias and Walker Buehler and Clayton Kershaw in the past. They you know, I think they feel like they have the bullpen, but they've also had the bullpen in the past. The lineup is ridiculous. Let me say this. I had never heard him say this before, but when Tim Kirkjian talks, I listen. And last night, Tim said he believes that Betts, Ohtani, Freeman is the best top three of any lineup in baseball history.
Wow.
If Tim Kirkjian is saying that, Tim knows more than, than anyone. Like, he is the encyclopedia. And if Tim Kirkjian is saying that, I believe it. And maybe that's why. But the thing, like, Carlin, we have to understand this about baseball. The Dodgers were a demonstrably better team than the Arizona Diamondbacks last year and got swept in the division series. The Braves were a demonstrably better team than the Philadelphia Phillies last year and lost in the playoffs after losing in the playoffs to them the year before, too. This happens in baseball, and it's tough to be satisfied with the regular season, no matter how good it is, when you know an October can fall apart in a hurry. And it's one of the things I hate about baseball, but it's one of the things I love about baseball, too.
As a Phillies fan, like the last 2 years, they haven't even won the World Series. They have been incredible years because when you get hot at the right time,
that's right,
your whole day is sucked up into the notion of they're playing tonight and everyone believes. Like, you have this collective thought that anything can happen after having watched the regular season. For Yankees fans, they would like to believe they're going to have some of that this year after not having had it last year. Surprising? Should we be surprised they weren't more aggressive with a guy like Blake Snell, considering what happened to Gerrit Cole?
Yes. I think when you have Juan Soto for 1 year, and maybe it's more. Maybe they re-sign him this winter. Maybe they extend him. But when you know you have Juan Soto for only 1 year, you got to try to maximize that year. I look at the Yankees right now, and I'm not sure they're a playoff team.
Ooh. How about that? We've been talking 91.5 win totals. Can't talk with passing about it, obviously. We're men of integrity.
I mean, I will say this. When I see the odds for the Orioles and the Yankees are the same, why? Wow. Like, in what world are these two teams the same right now?
Maybe we will talk about it with Jeff Passan, not men of integrity.
No, this is not talking.
I know.
This is just me saying. I think the Baltimore Orioles, coming off a 101 win season and adding Corbin Burns and eventually adding Jackson Holliday, and I know they don't have Felix Bautista for the year, and I know they don't have Kyle Bradish for now and maybe for a little bit longer, but the Yankees won 82 games last year, and I get that they were banged up. I understand that. They are healthier this year. But for how long? It's an old team. Got an old first baseman. You got old outfielders. You got a 6'8", 275-pound guy playing center. Like, they added Juan Soto, who's one of the best hitters in the world, and that was a great move. They added Marcus Stroman, who actually has been someone who's been consistent in putting innings up, and they need that. And,
but doesn't want to pitch opening day.
I mean, who does, though?
You know, just along these lines, it's amazing to me, Jeff, and we're talking to Jeff Passan, ESPN senior MLB insider, that they have been able to change what the bar is in the Bronx. Now, because of what we were just talking about, it's go win 100 games and we'll see what happens, whereas that never used to be it. And somehow it does not get I don't want to say there's
you know
a
why
lack
though
of-
Chris, you know why? Because there are 12 teams that make the playoffs now.
Yeah, like it was
a lot easier when you just got into the American League Championship Series and had one team to beat, one series to win. And then during the Yankees run, there were 8 teams in the playoffs, and they had to win essentially 2 rounds, one of them, against the wild card team.
But this all changed before the 12. That's the thing. Like,
true.
And I guess my point is, there does not seem to, and I'm not going back to the whole George thing and all that stuff.
No, go back to the George thing. There's truth to that.
There is not the same level of accountability that there used to be because of what the finances of the team are, which continue to climb.
I don't think you're wrong about that. And yet, let's look at the Yankees' payroll this year. They're over $300 million, man. Mm. It's not like they're skimping. You can't just look at payroll as an arbiter for success. I wrote a whole story about this on ESPN Plus earlier this week that I think it's fascinating because you've got the Mets, the Dodgers, and the Yankees in this $300+ million payroll tier. But then you've got the Orioles and the Rays at like $120 million. And I think there's a pretty good argument to be made that both of those organizations are in better shape than the Yankees are right now long term. They're set up better for the future, at least. And the Yankees have some prospects, but they're not like the Rays, I don't think. And they're certainly not like the Orioles. And so the idea that the Yankees can spend their way out of the problems that they may or may not have, that's 2010's thinking. And remember, we saw the kind of position they got themselves into when they signed too many guys who were past their primes. And that's why Juan Soto was so attractive.
Yeah.
Because he's 25, because he's going to be a free agent at 26.
He's still only 25?
Yes.
Oh, my God, San Diego. What are you doing?
He's always looked a little bit older.
It was years ago he was winning a World Series.
Yeah.
And like, here we are.
He was a baby. Remember, he was up at 19. When Jackson Churio debuts today for the Milwaukee Brewers. Actually, it's going to be tomorrow because that game got rained out. But when Jackson Churio debuts for the Brewers, I believe he's going to be the youngest player in Major League Baseball since Juan Soto.
Jeff Passan joining us in studio. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. We're adopting a team in Major League Baseball this year.
Ooh.
For a win total bet. Now, you can't weigh in on the gambling stuff, so we're not trying to get that. We can't use any of our teams. Boys in the back are both Yankees fans, so the Yanks can't be involved. I'm a Phillies fan. They can't be involved. Carlin's a Rangers fan. So we found a team where we wanted to bet an over. We discussed it for 2 days. It took forever. We settled on the Oakland Athletics.
I think that's really smart, actually.
Yes.
What are they at? 60?
57.5.
I don't think they're going to lose 105 games this year.
That's quick math right there. I would not have done the 105 math like that.
Really? Impressive. Yeah.
I actually have been double checking in my mind. I'm still not there.
I was, you know what? I scored 130 points higher in math on my SAT than I did verbal.
Wow.
The key, though, is what was the verbal? Because the verbal was very
low. It wasn't. I hope the verbal's not that low.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, given that, given that you're a writer.
Exactly. Well, it's still embarrassing that I was that the disparity was that much.
Anyone want to take a guess on the SAT score? You're the same age as me, so you were on a 1,600-point scale.
I was on a 1,600-point scale.
Wilner, first guess. Passan's SAT score.
1,350.
Interesting. Handman.
1,300?
If we're playing Price is Right, that's a terrible guess.
It really
is. You got to go 51 or you got to go much lower because you're just going to get – Carlin can come in and go 1,299 on you. Carlin.
Yeah, now I would go 1,351. That's exactly where I was thinking. There's no way he got less than a 1,300.
I'll go 1,352.
You guys think I'm smarter than I am. I was 1,310.
1,310?
So actually, the 1,300 was a brilliant bet.
Handman threads the needle and sticks it in my face.
Incredibly stupid, but well done.
That's a great score. Congratulations to you.
Oh, I mean, my child's going to score a lot higher. And as he does, here's the thing. When you have kids and they're better at everything than you, he's 6'1". So he will, He will come up to me and he'll just look at me and he'll slowly tilt his head down. And he'll say 5'9", and then just walk away as if to lord over me that he's got an extra 4 inches as well as a higher SAT score eventually. Like, kids suck.
This is why I don't have kids, Jeff, because I have enough people in my life already that think they're better than me.
Carlin SAT score. Wilner, go.
1,000.
Handman.
950.
Passing. Wow.
1,280.
Carlin, what's the answer?
1,130.
Oh, wow. How do you feel about Wilner and Handman guessing so low compared to Passan?
I'll just say this. Boys, not going to forget it.
Thanks for listening to the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Carlin versus Joe weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch and listen on the ESPN app. The Carlin versus Joe podcast.